We welcome you this morning to the Lord's house and this time of worship today. Very happy that you are here. When we come to place of worship, there is the main purpose of lifting our hearts and our souls in worship to our God, and that's why we are here. Of course, the follow-up from that is to enjoy each other's company, to encourage each other in the things of God, and we want to do all of those things this day. So let us come with a true heart in a true spirit of worship. We're going to be singing number 16 in our hymnal, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done." The words will also be on the screen behind me. Let us stand as we worship the Lord.
Thank you.
please be seated. Let's settle our hearts now before the Lord and come to pray. And as I pray publicly, will I ask you to all pray in the silence of your heart that God would open His Word to us all this morning, and that we would draw blessed things from His Word, and it would be an encouragement and lift us up, that we might indeed worship the Lord with a true heart and a true soul now. Father, as we come to the beginning of this Lord's Day, we are thankful, Father, for the blessing we have of being here in this place of worship. Being here, Father, in this place where from our hearts we desire to lift our praises and our thanksgiving. And dear Father, this morning I ask that we will know the help of the Holy Spirit in our time. We pray, Father, because we are so prone to wander in our thoughts, so prone to go down roads that are not appropriate in our minds or thoughts for the house of prayer and praise. And so therefore we are asking now that every one of us as your people, we would be very conscious of the Holy Spirit directing our thinking, directing our praise and our meditation. Ask, Lord, that the Scripture would be written on our hearts, praying that as many of us have come from different circumstances today, in the past week, that we would come today with a heart that is open to worship the living and the true God. Lord, we know we are debtors to mercy, debtors to the grace that you've given to us, and we don't deserve, Lord, anything. And yet you have given to us the very greatest of all blessings that humanity could ever possess, and that is the knowledge of Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The knowledge, Father, that our sins have been forgiven. The knowledge that we have a home in heaven now reserved for us, and in a very short number of days or months, maybe years, but yet we will see our Lord Jesus face to face, and we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And therefore, Lord, until that time comes, I pray that every true child of Christ, that all of us would be faithful unto our God, that we would walk, Lord, in the center of your will, that we would not be consumed or just taken over by the things of this world. How the devil would love to distract our minds. He would love to take us down some path of temptation and sin. But, oh God, we know this truth, that greater is He, Christ Jesus, that is in us, than the devil that is in the world. And so therefore strengthen us in our walk day by day. Open up new doors of service. Lord, lead us to some soul that we will be able to share our faith with. And if not verbally, then by our very testimony for the life that we want to live to the glory of Jesus. And may we be good reflectors, Father, of the love and grace and mercy that we have received and of the forgiveness of our sin. Ah, Lord, we pray today that there would be encouragement to every believer from the Scripture, that our time together in your house would be profitable, that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Father, we have so much to give thanks for in our lives, so much in our families, in our congregation, so many blessings, Lord, that we have received. And in the midst of all those things, Father, we do not want to forget or be ignorant of those that have great need. We think of the persecuted church today, those believers in many places of this world that are incarcerated or being troubled, being persecuted for their faith in Christ. Strengthen them. Let their testimony before their captors or their persecutors be very bright. And Lord, encourage and strengthen them. We pray for those that are suffering with ill health or some long-term illness. Lord, be with them and bless them and strengthen them in this very day. We think of our brother Cranston this morning that he's not doing very well. Encourage his heart. Be with our brother Fraser as he preaches today in Port Hope. And Lord, just bless them in that congregation as well. We think of all of our sister churches, and we pray for each one of them. Remember, Lord, those places that do not have pastors at this time. Encourage them and lead the right man to that place at the right time and help. But Lord, we are also mindful of those who are faithful to the calling and cause of Christ, that are serving in many different capacities, many different churches or denominations, wherever they might be. Lord, we may not know of them, some we do, but we're asking, Father, for a drawing near, the pouring out of the Spirit's blessing upon them, for the salvation of precious souls, and that you would make use of everyone who is standing true to the Word of God and bless them. We ask, Lord, to remember those that are troubled and cast down with some very, very heavy burden, maybe we know nothing about. But Lord, I'm thankful that you know every single detail of our lives and of our families and where we are and where we have been called to walk and to serve. And therefore, Lord, pour out a double portion of grace into those families. You know how the devil would love to destroy marriages and tear apart families. And oh God, we pray that there would be a very high wall of protection and safety around our families and defeat the devil in all of his purposes. We pray, Lord, that we will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And Father, we know the prayer that Christ offered and made, that his church will continue, it will grow, it will prosper, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Therefore, we stand, Lord, on that promise and truth, and we want to be found faithful in our day. Lord, come and breathe upon us with that reviving breath from heaven. Then, Lord, as we know your Spirit's guidance and direction and power, then we'll be able to go forward and fulfill your cause and do that which is according to your will. Hear our prayer today, Lord. Bless us now as we continue in our worship. For we ask all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Well, let's continue, please, in our worship this morning by singing Psalm 143. Psalm 143 will stand again as we worship. Lord is blessing, and your singing and your worship is an encouragement to me today. And we are hovering around the Psalms in our service this morning. Our congregational reading will be in Psalm 67. Please turn there. If you don't have a Bible with you, make use of the red Bible in the pew. Psalm 67, the opening line speaks of God being merciful unto us. This is both a prayer and it is a statement. God is merciful unto us. He is merciful unto His church, His people. And this is always something that we can draw great encouragement from. God, be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah, that Thy way may be known upon earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. May the Lord encourage our hearts today by His word. We're actually going to be reading from Psalm 68, and the next one a little bit later in our service, but I want to welcome you all warmly this morning to our worship service and time. Very happy that you are here with us. It's good to have the Olson family with us this morning. You're very, very welcome here. Our brother's going to be coming tonight in our evening service, and he's going to be bringing a report on how the Lord's been working and moving in his own family and ministry, and then bringing the word to us. And I believe his wife and girls are going to be singing tonight as well in the evening service. So that is something we will look forward to. And also happy to have Daniel and his two sons with us this morning in the service. We're happy that you are here. And I don't want to miss out my own daughter, Esther, and my two granddaughters, Olivia and Avery. Happy that they're here visiting for a couple of weeks with us in Toronto. And then others, we have maybe not got your name completely, but you're certainly very welcome, and we're happy that you're here in the Lord's house today. Not forgetting those folks that are online. We, of course, just came back from our international congress over in Northern Ireland there for a couple of weeks, and it was a very special time. We met many, many folks in the services meetings there, and we were encouraged to know how many are able to tune in to our service. Of course, the five-hour time difference means that, well, they can catch our service a bit later in the evening or later afternoon, and we were encouraged by those who were able to tune in and are praying for us. A word of thanks to all of you who were remembering those who traveled overseas. We had a total of about 40 people from all of our churches in North America that traveled over. That seems like a small number, but we are a small denomination, so it was a good representation. And I only feel bad for some of those who had earnestly desired to go and had planned to go, and the last were not able to, and we certainly missed them being with us. Sister Hyacinth and Brother Clifton, we missed having you with us there on that trip. But we understand the Lord makes no mistakes, and for His greater purposes, some were not able to attend. We want to have this coming Wednesday evening at our prayer meeting. I've asked a few of the folks that were on the trip to really bring brief reports of their time, and we're looking forward to that Wednesday evening at 7:30 in our prayer meeting, and just to thank the Lord for what He has done each night from last Monday, July the 1st, to the 5th Monday to Friday. We had services each evening in the Martyrs Memorial Free Church in Belfast. And we were well taken care of and hosted by that congregation for some of our meals and other churches as we went on tours each day. And local congregations there provided for us food and good fellowship. It was a very, very special time for us, and we are thankful for that. And do remember all of our churches overseas at this time. I want to say a word of thanks to the men who ministered while I was away. Appreciate it not only in the Lord's Day services, but also in our prayer meeting times. Do remember Reverend Cranston. He is not well this morning. And our brother Fraser, I just got a call at the last minute to go there and help with the morning service. So remember Brother James Fraser as he ministers the word there today. Our pre-service prayer meeting tonight will be at 5:50 in our fellowship room, and that's before our evening service at 6:30. And I've already mentioned the Pastor Olson will be bringing the word tonight to us, and we look forward to that time of ministry and fellowship. There also tonight, after the evening service, will be a time of fellowship downstairs, and that's moved from our normal one, but for good reason, with the Olsons with us today. So we want to have that time of fellowship after the evening service. So ladies, make sure you make those preparations in coming tonight. Already mentioned Wednesday, our prayer meeting, and looking forward to those reports. And the next Lord's Day morning at 11, we're going to be having a visiting preacher, Reverend Simon Anderson from Auchnacloy FPC Church in Northern Ireland. He's going to be here with his family on holidays. And so as he notified us of coming, well, actually, he didn't notify me. I found out he was looking for some hymnals. And he said, I can pick them up when I come to Toronto. And I said, ah, you're coming to Toronto. Well, we will put you to work. And he said, well, I'm on my holidays. And I said, yes. So we're going to put him to work anyways. So he'll minister the word next Lord's Day morning. I gave him the option. I didn't really put that much pressure on him. But he's willing to come and just share his testimony and bring a word. And we look forward to meeting him. He's never been in our church before. In fact, I've never met him. He came up to us at one of the evening meetings of our Congress. And I was happy to meet him and his wife and family. Next Lord's Day evening, our service at 6:30. Something for prayer, an advance notice regarding our Young Adult Bible Conference. And that's going to be running from July the 31st to August the 4th with Reverend Higginson from our Lisburn congregation overseas. And they're going to be here for a family holiday, but we invited him to come and speak for us at these meetings. So let's be in prayer about that and to encourage every youth and young adult in our congregation. You're welcome to be a part of those special meetings. It'll be happening. We'll be having some outings through the day, and then it will be meetings every night. And looking forward to that. It'll be a special time of fellowship. And it's for those who are, well, older young people. If you're traveling from a distance, we've kind of pegged the age at 18 because we wanted to be able to be sure that they were able to travel on their own, and upwards of 35-ish and so on. If you want to be a part of that, you're welcome to do that for sure. There's really no upper age limit to it. Those are all the ministry announcements that we have today, this morning. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise, number 680. 680. Our offering boxes are in the hallway, in the foyer, on the wall, and it's for really our own people that would put their tithes and offerings in. And to just remind you of that, if you wanted to give something to the Lord's work here, you're welcome to do that. 680. Let's stand again as we sing.
Amen.
Open your Bibles with me again, please, to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, we're going to read the first eight verses, first nine verses. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Let's ask the Lord to help us, please, now. Lord, we rejoice that we have the Scripture before us now. And Father, as we have read, we need light from heaven upon the truth that we have read and meditate on. We pray, I pray, Lord, that I will know help from heaven. I will know the power of the Spirit of God to direct my thoughts and words. And Lord, I pray that my own heart would be open to this truth, and that likewise every believer here would be under that direction of the Spirit of God, and the application of the truth would be in every soul. Father, we pray also for any who are without Christ, the youngest child, the young teenager, those that have perhaps been in the service in our church for many years, but still have never submitted their heart to Christ. Oh Lord, I pray today that it would please you to move with power in their hearts and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, to know the joy of sins forgiven, to know what the psalmist was speaking about here when he wrote of rejoicing exceedingly in our God. And so, Father, hear our prayer today. We ask these things now in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Verse 9 of this psalm is what I want us to think about this morning. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. I want to think today about abundant spiritual rain. What does that mean to us in our time? What does it mean, believer, to you, where you are now in your own spiritual experience? Have you sought God earnestly for His spiritual blessing to be poured out upon you in your own heart and life? Have you sought God for that personal reviving that the Scripture speaks so clearly about? So as we think this morning about this, I make this a prayer in my own heart. I desire that God would lead me closer to Him, would carry me farther along in fellowship with my God, that I will know that communion with Him that is dearer and dearer as we grow more and more like Him in our Christian experience. Because really, when you look at revival and its definition, it is not something that is going to be necessarily electrifying, if we could use that phrase. It's not something that necessarily is like a bolt from heaven. It is going to be that deep, lasting, ongoing, gracious work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, whereby we grow more and more like our Savior. Is that not the quest that we have as God's people? Is that not our desire? And if so, and if it might be waning or lacking in your own heart, then I say to you today, make that a prayer of your soul this very morning. Hey, Lord, I've not made that the desire of my heart. I've not really sought you for that abundant spiritual rain that I so dearly need. Then, as we pray, I will guarantee you that is a prayer in the will of God for your life. And as we have the promise before us and we know it's God's will, therefore, as we pray it, it will be answered in your Christian life. To what degree it will be answered? Well, that is yet to be seen. Because there may well be some things that will limit or hinder that in our life. During our recent International Congress that I've just been speaking about, we were taken on various tours each day. One of the tours that we went on was a highlight in my own life because we visited some of the revival sites and churches where God had moved powerfully in 1859 in the revival that took place in Northern Ireland. It began in a small schoolhouse, a one-room schoolhouse, in a place called Kells in County Antrim. Four men began to pray. And as they began to pray for God to move powerfully in their communities, in their own hearts, in their churches, the Lord began to draw other people to that prayer meeting. And so it started off in this one-room schoolhouse, but it became too small for those who wanted to gather and pray, and so they moved to local church. And their burden and prayer was that God would come and breathe out His Spirit and work powerfully in their community, in their churches, and that He would mercifully pour out His Spirit in great power to the building up of His church and His people, but also in the salvation of sinners. Seems like two very simple prayer requests. But when you think about it, do those two prayer requests really not summarize the burden that should be in the heart of every single church, every single faithful believer? Is that not what we want? And that's what they sought God for. And God answered the heart cry of His people. And He sent an abundant spiritual rain. During the initial move of God and the years that followed, it was estimated that over 100,000 souls were born again of God's Spirit, not only in the north of Ireland, but other places were impacted as well by this divine work of grace. Churches were built that are still standing to this day. Taverns and the dance halls and the entertainment places were shut down. Because when God breathed out His Spirit with such power in that community, it had an impact on how people lived and what they did and where they went and how they found their entertainment. At one time, when they came to the Lord, they turned away from those things. And that's not surprising to us. It shouldn't be anyways, because we are said to be new creations when we come to Christ, and old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Communities, whole communities reverberated with praises to the Lord for what He had done. And as our little group, as we sat in those churches and we heard the accounts and the stories that were given, those very places that were used as worship services during that time, it caused both a spirit of thankfulness to God for what He had done, but it also created in us, I believe, a longing for the Lord to do the same thing again, and for the Lord to breathe out His Spirit in our day and move powerfully in our communities to do what He had done years ago. Oh yes, we've read our histories, haven't we? We've read our histories of what revival has done and how God has moved. And yet do we not long for that to be experienced in our own hearts, our own churches? Some believe that we are past the days when God will move in such a way. But you know, the Bible gives us many examples of such blessings when all around there were many reasons why God should not have moved or could not have moved or would not have moved. But He did move. And what we learn also is that revival is something that is sovereignly done by the Lord. But He begins by burdening the hearts of people, His people, to pray. And so as we come to Psalm 68 and verse 9 today, and we think about that promise of abundant spiritual rain, let us pray that God will again use us as our local churches and breathe upon us as His people, that that spiritual blessing will be upon us and we will be both refreshed and we will know encouragement from the Lord, and that we will know strength from Him, and that we will know the building up of our works, and how the Lord will move, and how He will use us. We leave that in His hand. What we want is to be His people in the right place at the right time. I want you to notice the first thought today is this. There is a common problem. And you'll notice in verse 9, the very last word of the verse is the word weary. The people of God, they were weary. The word means tired. It means grieved or offended. God's people have many enemies, and it's been like that from the beginning of time. Israel as a nation was no different when, whether they were in Egypt, whether they were in the wilderness, or they had set themselves up in the promised land, they faced battle after battle. And the battle that Israel faced as the nation is the same as the people of God have faced in every generation. And it's a battle of evil against that which is good. It's a battle of right against wrong. It's a battle that continues in every single believer's life to this very day. things that face us, we can become very, very weary in the work of God. We can become distressed, grieved, and offended. And we wonder sometimes, Lord, what's the remedy for this? How did I get myself into this situation? How will we ever become released from this weariness that seems to be a plague among the people of God? And where does this weariness come from? Well, I suggest to you a few things. First of all, it can come from circumstances that are beyond our control. A society that exalts sin and demotes that which is good. That's a weary thing for the child of God. I don't have to impress that and the facts of it upon you as you face it today, as we do in our time. We're all of society that we call ourselves in Canada, in the Western world. At one time, we were at least gave lip service to God. At least we were claiming to be a society or a country that had biblical basis and foundation. We can note that in the halls of our parliament buildings where the Bible is etched on the stained glass windows and in the stones of that very building. But as people walk by that day after day, completely oblivious to the foundations of our nation, and they carry on as if there is no God, as if there is no right. Society that exalts sin and calls that which is good evil, it can mount upon our minds, and it can get upon our shoulders, and it can weigh us down with that weariness and grief of spirit that we wonder, Lord, what are you allowing, and why are you allowing this to take place? If we are to proclaim truth, and if we believe in the right of the Bible, then how come this is allowed? But while we know the answer to that, we know that the devil is active. We know that when a country turns away from God, when that people which has had the light and the truth turn back to that which is evil and error, well, it's no wonder the Bible gives so many examples of when God has turned away because a nation has turned away from Him. Circumstances that are beyond our control, when not only as societies have turned, but what about when churches have turned from the truth? This is a grief of our heart as well. Churches have turned from the truth and more reflect the world than of righteousness. We all must be careful when we think about this or make such a statement, because the accusation may well come against our own fellowship, our own denomination. Hey, who are you guys? Who do you think you are? Pointing the fingers at somebody else, and yet you don't take care of your own backyard and the weeds that are there. No, we get that. We know that. But at the same time, we have to be careful that we judge righteous judgments according to the Scripture, and that we do not want to be respecters of persons. And so when there are institutions or denominations or churches that have jettisoned the Word of God, they have cast aside the faithful, true teaching of the Bible in all of its clarity and purity. Well, then we must take a stand for righteousness, and we must endeavor to expose that which is against God's truth. But it's a grief in the heart, is it not? When we see church after church or institution catering to, going down the path that is rejecting God's holy word and imbibing that which is against His word. That doesn't happen overnight, you know. Churches that once stood for truth and righteousness today may not be standing in that same place, but that is not a snap your finger sort of thing and happens. No, it is incremental change. And that's how apostasy sets in. It's a cold, a freezing of the elements, but it's a slow process. Don't we have to be on our guard? Is this not a word of warning to us? We want to be careful, brothers and sisters, that we don't go down that road and that we see those elements or those potential problems. We want to be on our guard for them. We want to be in prayer for them, that the Lord will put a high wall and a hedge around us, that we'll be faithful to Him and to His Word. It's also a grief to us when professed Christians tend to glamorize worldly activity and justify that which the Bible clearly denounces. And you can see how the world is creeping into our own lives. We can observe and see how we can be drawn into those things. And we have to be careful. Again, pointing fingers at others is sometimes an unwise thing to do. But we are called to evaluate and judge righteous judgments. And so it's a grief to the heart. And then you think also of institutional sin, where in our education areas of our society, children are given every imaginable and wicked definition of what is true and what is right and what is okay. And each time, it's exactly the opposite of what God's holy word teaches us. They are taught that homosexuality is good. It's just an expression of who you are. You never made yourself that way is the definition. You were born that way. And therefore, it's just an expression of your identity. Well, of course, that definition of what that sin is completely against what the Bible teaches. No, this is a sin that people have taken to themselves because it's part of human depravity. So whether it's that or transgenderism and these things that are being promoted in our educational institutions, because it is deemed to be the expression of our humanity. It's who we are. It's what we want to be. Yes, the word trans might be appropriate, but perhaps connected to the word transgressor instead of transgender or some other definition that is given. No, friends, we are called to be lights in our day. And we are called as God's people to be those in prayer against the evil onslaught of the day. How are we doing? How is our prayer? I know it's easy to be judgmental. It's easy to cast people off. But how important it is for us to pray that God will deliver those who are in the chains of these sins and bring them to the light of the gospel, the light that there is deliverance and hope and freedom. But then you have that other sector of that movement which is doubling down on justification of their activity, and it's a grief to the soul. And so when we wonder, why are the people of God, why is the Church of Christ weary today? This is one of the reasons. In all this, the believer can be set aside and even determining to do what is right, even wanting to go on and be the faithful believer that we can be. Sometimes you think, well, what's the point? Why should I do this? Because it seems to be no avail. So we think about circumstances that are out of our control. What about in our lives, legitimate business or ministry that can overwhelm us? I know as ministers, and I've spoken to enough of them over the last couple of weeks and had conversations, and those in ministry and full-time service, there's no doubt that it can be at times overwhelming because of the legitimate business and ministry that we are called to do. But even if we don't think about ministers or missionaries in that sense, what about every single believer? You're involved in your own life work. You've got your occupation. You have your family. You have ministry you have to be involved in. And is it not sometimes for you the legitimate things you have to do every single day? It can just get on top of you and overwhelm you. And so we become weary and cast aside. But then what about the sinful habits that weaken our spirits? This is a real problem too, and we cannot avoid it. It must be addressed. And apart from me marking them, identifying, naming them, look, you know exactly what it is in your own heart, in your own life. I know my own heart to some degree. And I know those sinful things that have set me aside, or those sinful practices that have set you aside. And the thing and the problem is for us as believers, the devil is so subtle and sly. He will come to plant that seed in your heart saying, look, don't worry about that. That's not such a big deal. It's not such a big issue. Don't sweat the small things. Just worry about the bigger things. And so he will try to get that thin edge of the wedge into your Christian heart, your life, and not make you worry too much about those habits that we know are not right. The Lord talks about sins that can easily beset us. Those sins that easily set us aside, they're like weights that are upon us. He also uses this other phrase in the scripture called the little foxes that spoil the vine. And you can imagine a cute little fox, and yet when you get those foxes going into a vineyard, they will eat away the fruit and destroy the vineyard. And the Lord uses that illustration of sinful things in the life of a believer that will do much destruction. And these things, they can cause us to be weary and cast down. And then we have to deal also with the satanic attacks that beat upon our minds and our hearts and wear us down. Daniel, in his prophecy, spoke about this. He spoke about how the saints of God would be worn out by the devil and by satanic activity. And you and I know by experience what that means to bring the weariness upon our heart. These are things that come upon the church and the individual believer. But friends, there is a most gracious and blessed answer to all these things that would set us down, cast us aside. Because look, you and I are no different from the very people that are being spoken about in this psalm. Those who are weary and who were weary in the battle. Thank God as we move on to the second heading this morning. And it is divine intervention. That's what is at the heart of this very verse of Scripture. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain. This was the answer that God's people needed. This plentiful rain that God promised He would send, this spiritual outpouring, this bountiful resource that comes from our God. And you know what we learn from this is that this was direct from heaven. This is not something man-made. It's not something that we try to wind up ourselves and we try to get ourselves all stirred up in some sort of a spiritual experience. No, that stuff is all hypocritical. And it's all part of the mirage that Satan sets up to distract people. But this divine intervention, it's directly from heaven, from the Lord Himself. And as we know that, therefore you and I should be praying to that end, that God will deliver us from all of the counterfeits of the day. He will deliver us from anything that smells a little bit of the flesh. We don't want that. What we want is that which is pure and unmixed. Because that which comes from God, directly from heaven, it will have that fragrance of purity. It'll have that fragrance of being unmixed and not watered down. May we pray that God will grant to us, in all of the definition that we can manage to put together, we want, Lord, to have the pure and unmixed blessing that comes directly from you. Isn't it true that whenever we tend to put our hand to some things, it quickly becomes defiled? I often use the illustration, it's the opposite of King Midas, that fairy tale of a guy who everything he touched turned to gold. It didn't work out too good for him at the end anyway, but in our sense, it's different. Everything we touch is corrupted. And so when we think about praying to this end, we must be careful that we don't try to manipulate a working or a movement of God, that we don't try to be those who steer the direction of it, because when that takes place, you will find that it quickly fizzles out. That which started of being direct from the Lord, when man tries to, well, commercialize it, try to make it something that it's not, it's the end of it. It's direct from heaven. It's pure. It's unmixed. And we know that it is sovereignly dispersed. What does this mean? Well, we cannot determine when God will move in a certain way. We cannot say, oh, it will happen at certain time, certain place, among certain people, in a certain manner. Because a moving and a working from God is going to be according to His timetable. It's going to be at the place where He determines. It's going to come in the manner and in the measure which our God uses for His own glory and purpose. And it will also be in all of those things for the benefit and the growth and the refreshment of His church and His people. And that's why we should pray to that end. Because just as it was in 1859 with those four young men that began to pray, so the working and moving of God comes in answer to the prayers of God's people. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. This is what the Lord has told us. Psalm 27, seek ye my face, the Lord said, and our response to Him will be, yes, Lord, your face will we seek. Is there a burden in our hearts to pray for such a thing? Sometimes, you know, we become very comfortable in our circumstances, and we are a little bit reluctant to have our comfort zone turned upside down. But that's often what will happen, you know, when God moves. Our comfort will be set aside, and we will have to rearrange the furniture of our heart when God comes and moves in a certain way. But when He does, we will be the greater beneficiaries of all that He does. I close with this. The third thought is a gracious outcome. Oh yes, the Lord did fulfill His promise, because if you come back to verse 9, Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby Thou didst confirm Thine inheritance. He confirmed His inheritance. You know what's fascinating here? is that this inheritance, it's not speaking about some person's inheritance. This is speaking about the God of heaven. And what is his inheritance? You might think the Lord kind of lost out a bit here on this one, but you are the inheritance of God. I am the inheritance of God. All of the blood washed and spirit born that make up the body of Christ, we are the inheritance of God. And so when the psalmist prayed this prayer, and when he made this statement, he was saying, there is an answer. There is a gracious outcome that we should look toward. The word confirm is used here in our translation, and it means to make, to stand, to quench the thirst of all who belong to him. You see, friend, spiritual reviving, what I'm speaking about today and from this verse, it is not for any who are outside of Christ. If you're not saved here today, or you're listening online now, or maybe at a service sometime later, this blessing is not for you if you're unsaved. You can't say, well, you know, I've got family, my parents were believers, and I've come from a nice family background, or I've had a church membership for many years. I've been baptized. I've gone through all the catechizing of the church. All of those things, you might say, I've got this, 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 and this, and you checked all the boxes off. But friend, you're still not a believer. You've not been regenerated. You've not been born again of the Spirit of God. Christ is not your own. And I say this to you today, that you need him in your heart, and you need to know him in order that you could pray and receive this gracious outcome of this spiritual and abundant spiritual blessing. And when the Lord comes in answer to our prayer, what will it do for us? Well, right away it will lift the despairing heart. We talked about the weariness and all the stuff that brings weariness to us. Well, when the Lord comes and breathes in upon his power and moves upon us, well, there will be a lifting up of the despair. And it does not mean that he will always remove the issues that cause the despair. Let's not forget that. The Lord does not always deliver us from the thorn in the flesh, as the Apostle Paul prayed, but he does pour out grace sufficient for us in every time of need. He will comfort us in our affliction, for he is known as the God of all comfort. What affliction, believer, are you in right now? What are you going through right now that no one else understands? No one understands like Jesus. He knows. And he will bear you up. And when you ask the Lord to come and to meet your need with his abundant spiritual rain, he will give you that grace, though he may not take away that affliction or that particular burden. Yes, and in all of this, he will refresh our spirits. He will enable us to keep going. When you felt like throwing the towel in and giving up, no, the Lord will strengthen you with might in the inner man, and you'll come with renewed determination to say, I don't care what the devil tries to do against me or what evil there is in the land around me. I'm going on with God. Even if some family members are not with me going on with God, and they'll try to pull you back, you determine, say, no, Lord, I'm going through with you no matter what, because I love my Lord. And we will say, as Peter said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And the Lord would come to us and say, feed my sheep and my lambs, and keep going, and don't give in, and press forward in whatever God's calling and direction is for you, to refresh your spirits, He will renew our strength. And we need that so often. And how the apostle said to the believers, be not weary in well-doing. You might not get rewarded in this earth. You certainly won't get rewarded by the world. You may not get rewarded by God's people, but keep going. Do not be weary, because your service for God will be rewarded, even in the most simple things of the cup of cold water in the name of Christ. And as you give it, He marks your service for Him. And you know, ultimately, why does God send this abundant spiritual rain? Is it not that His name will be glorified and that His work will be built? I come full circle now, right back to the very beginning of the message when I said to you, as we pray for the building of the work of Christ, for the edification of His people, that's what God will do. He will build His work, and He will use us to do that. He will use you, believer, to do that in your own heart. And so I pray that God's blessing would be upon you as we have thought on this verse of Scripture. We're going to close our service this morning by singing number 681. It is also akin to the same theme, there shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. We'll stand to sing. Father, this morning, our prayer is very simple, Lord, that every believer would be brought into that right place, right relationship. Lord, we hear the scripture that says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Lord, we pray that you would do such a work in this congregation, in our church, in our hearts. Do such a work in all of our sister fellowships. And Father, we pray in the broader and wider church of Christ, every faithful minister, that Lord, we would know in these last of the last days a gracious and mighty moving. Lord, I ask today for any soul that is still unsaved. Speak to their hearts, Lord. We know we cannot save anyone, but it's a work of sovereign divine grace. And we're asking, Lord, for you to work today and save precious souls. So part us now in your fear and with your rich and mighty blessing, and bring us back, Lord, tonight in the joy and fullness of the Spirit, and bless our evening service. Be with everyone who will take part. And Lord, hear our prayer today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.